Hello, all you positive heads out there. It's so good to be back with all you beautiful reflections of the one source consciousness that creates and animates all things. If you're new to this podcast, of course, we're super happy to have you here. And if you've been listening and enjoying for a while, I would be super grateful if you would please take a moment to give us a review on Apple Podcasts. It's one of the best and simplest ways to pay it forward and help others find the show so that they too can tap into the powerful perspectives and positive vibrations we are collectively emanating. The other unique and magical way to share this show is by sending any friends you think would benefit from listening to this podcast our Game with the Universe link at positivehead.com/game. Also listed in the show notes, which will serve them up a quote-unquote random episode when they click it. Just instruct them before clicking the link to close their eyes for a moment and sincerely ask the universe to cue up the episode that contains the insight and perspectives that they most need to hear at this point in their life journey, and then click to listen to whatever episode is synchronistically served up to them. I have heard time and time again from people about the incredible results they received playing the game. So just tell your friends, magical results are guaranteed or their karma back. All right, all you positive heads, welcome, welcome, welcome. It's another Magic Monday, magical little Monday here in the studio. I've got my good friend, Manda Brown, here in the studio to help steer the ship. Hello, Manda. How are you?
Good. How are you doing? I'm happy to be here.
Yeah, me too. We have been, actually, Manda and I met through the show a long time ago, and she lives not very far away, and we had an interesting journey this weekend. We actually did an Aya journey, an ayahuasca journey. And wow, that's all I can say. It was quite the experience. And we thought today for Magical Monday, it would be good to share. And she was gracious enough to come by the studio and share her experience of what she went through. And yeah, so that's today's, we're gonna hit this week with a little bit of magic and weirdness and story time. And before I jump right into our journey and what we experienced, a little update that happened. Well, maybe I should tell Manda the update at the end, because yeah, it'll make more sense if I tell it at the end, I think, as I think through it. Okay.
Wait till the end.
Yeah, I'm gonna update on a previous story that's just played out even in the last few minutes. Yeah, I think it's gonna make sense to share it later. So let's talk about ayahuasca. You guys have heard, if you go way back to the very beginning, one of the first 10 episodes is with Pablo Miller, and we talk all about, you know, his leading ceremonies for 20 some years and all the amazing things about ayahuasca. And I've done it, you know, 5 times. Well, this was my 6th over the last few years. And it's actually been a few years since I did it last. And it is, for those of you who don't know, it's a sacred plant medicine from South America that really is, I don't even know how to describe it. I mean, it's different every time.
It's a healing medicine.
For sure.
It needs to be separate from... It's not a drug.
It's not. Yeah, no, it's a plant.
A lot of people listening will think it is a drug.
Yeah. Yeah. It's definitely not a drug. It's a plant medicine. And it's one that, like, the DEA is not even enforcing, like, busting people or anything, because it is so healing. And there's legal. You can do it legally. There's churches that are set up that where you can do it
in America.
In America. So, but wow, is it. It is like, it's about as intense as anything you can experience. And my first 5 were, you know, and you guys have even heard me talk if you go back to that episode. So, yeah, if you go back to episode 6 with Pablo Miller, you guys can hear all about ayahuasca. And, you know, that's going back years ago. That was, you know, what are we, episode 720 or something now. So, yeah, it was really quite, you know, typically it's like a room of, in this case, I think there's 18 of us.
This was the biggest group that I've ever been in.
Yeah.
Usually it's about, I have been in a room of 10 to 12.
Yeah.
And the first night it was 17. So yeah. I think it was bigger than that.
Yeah.
The second night.
Yeah. It was definitely
almost to 20 people.
It was a lot of people. And it's sort of like the way I've described it before, it's a little bit like a, psychedelic hospital, because you have people who are experiencing blissed out experiences, one with the universe, maybe experiencing past lives, maybe on a UFO somewhere, maybe, you know, just processing fears or blockages. You know, a lot of people interact with, they call her grandmother ayahuasca. It's a, like a
Mama Aya.
Yeah, it's like a female figure. And a lot of people have had that experience with the spirit of the plant itself. And so you just don't know what you're going to get, you know? And like I said, for my first five journeys, and even if you go back to that episode six, I talk about my first few, and they're nothing compared to what I went through this time. Like, not even close drop in the bucket. So we're going to just share. Yeah. Why don't, Amanda, why don't you start by just telling a little bit? Because you went, you had two in a row, right. Two journeys in a row. Right. I showed up the second night.
Right.
But the first night you were there, and maybe you can just tell them a little bit about what you experienced.
Yeah. So, as he said, every experience is different. And the first and the second night were literally flip-flopped. The first night was so beautiful and powerful, and a lot of light, a lot of love in the room, in my journey. And the second night was a lot of pain, a lot of darkness. Obviously needed both experiences, the yin and the yang, but my first night experience was so beautiful, very empowering, kind of coming back to myself and finding my power. It was so beautiful. I felt very, you know, at one with the universe, in the cosmos. My journey started off.
It was very cosmic.
I was out of the room. I was out in the universe. I was in the universe. I was a part of the universe. My first visual, what I'm thinking of, that I just died laughing. Well, when it started, I was kind of, you know, just naturally a little bit nervous. So
yeah,
I was always a little nervous
going in.
Yeah, it's, well, I have to back up here. This was my first weekend of the tea. So this was my third and fourth time. The first two times I had done these chocolates that are
65% ayahuasca and 35% mushroom. Psilocybin mushrooms and ayahuasca mix.
Yeah.
And this was your first weekend doing straight ayahuasca.
Right. So The chocolates are definitely more grounding. He provides the shroom experience as well to kind of ground you and have that balance of not blasting you so out in spirit. Obviously, you're still out there, but he doesn't allow first timers to do the tea. And I mean, I've put in the work. I've had a lot of healing since my first experience was last June.
How many journeys have you done now?
So this was three and four.
Okay, gotcha.
So I went in with my intention since the first time of taking the tea. The second time wanted the tea. I wasn't in the space though, and he guided me out of that. And I'm so thankful because I'm the most confident and happiest I've ever been in my life. But through that was a lot of healing. And he granted me, I felt, access to the tea. And it was a lot of, like, a very honorable feeling that I felt both nights of just this honor to be a part of the tea. And I know I'm now going to work with the tea for a very long while. But going back to my experience, so when it started, obviously a little nervous, and I was laying on my side and kind of in fetal position, you know, that safe, curled into a ball. I wasn't really getting any downloads yet or visuals. And eventually I, you know, lay on my back and get into Shavasana, and that's when it started. And all of a sudden, as soon as I get into Shavasana, I'm in a rocket ship, spaceship, flying through the universe so fast.
You had a definitive feeling of being in an actual ship.
It was like, okay, like as soon as I surrendered and had that Shavasana, it was like, here we go. Get right on.
Buckle up your seatbelt.
And we were flying. I was flying so fast. And it was making me laugh so hard, I was the first to burst out in the room and laugh. Yeah, and it was uncontrollable. It was just, oh, such a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful experience.
Were you seeing like celestial entities or like stars, or was it more just like definitive? Like
it was that? Just connection to the world in this just going back to the word honor. Like I was just so at peace and so happy and so full of love and light. It's hard, honestly, right now for me to completely remember the first night. As I told you earlier, my nights are starting to blend together a bit. And the second night, as we will talk about, was definitely wild. So I have that kind of overpowering in my mind. But I will say one thing that the biggest thing from the night before the first night, So in the home, the house that we were staying at, the hosts of the house, their whole family was there. The woman's mom and dad, brother, and then her partner were at this house. And
this was the night I wasn't there yet. I didn't come until the next night. And right. The mother and father were like 70 years old or something.
Yeah.
Or like
so older. This was my first experience of two. Grandma and grandpa's being in the room, yeah. And I felt so safe. This wise energy was mm-hmm. there, and this wise energy was there to protect us. And they're both on another level. And the mom, she had never done. She's only smoked weed and wow. not much in her life,
wow.
but she is a clinical hypnotherapist.
Wow!
So she. She says very similar work of what she experienced that night, and she dove right in. And her experience, she was ordained a gatekeeper, a lightkeeper. And I've heard this is something I've heard of, but I've never known
so
anybody.
It reminds me of, and she's saying when you say she was ordained a lightkeeper, you're saying on the medicine during her journey. She's on ayahuasca. She has an experience on the other side, beyond the veil, with entities ordaining her as. A lightkeeper,
yeah, where they gave her robes, they went around a circle.
Wow.
The whole thing. And like she's, as I said, a clinical hypnotherapist. She's a healer. She's, you know, in her own hypnotherapy sessions, she has gone back. She's had two past life experiences, and both experiences she has been healers of her villages. So she's been a healer throughout every lifetime.
Wow.
And she was granted this.
That reminds me of the Sandra Walter interview. If you guys listen back, she talks about being a gatekeeper
yeah.
and having, I think she actually shares her story. That was one of my
was that
favorite powwows.
Ayahuasca as
yeah.
well?
No. She okay. just does it all through meditation. And if you guys go back and listen, a lot of people loved episode 559, where she talks about, you know, she lives up in Mount Shasta and she just meditates out in the woods. She doesn't use any plant medicine. And we actually talk about that. She's yeah. like, you don't need these tools. These are one way to access it.
Right.
She's like, she doesn't use any of
okay.
anything. She's,
okay.
But she has had, it's, when you told me this story
yeah.
of her experiencing these robed, you yeah. know, induction ceremony, it's like, oh, that sounds like exactly what Sandra talked about in episode 559 that happened to her as a gatekeeper of, you know, the area she lives in, which is Mount Shasta, which is
yeah.
a portal, I guess, for our planet. But that's the first
right.
thing that I thought of.
Right. And I've never, yeah. And I've never met anybody so powerful. So when she explained her, you know, experience the next morning, I was in tears.
Wow.
I've never experienced anything like this, being in front of someone so powerful, so connected. It brought tears to my eyes.
Wow.
It was one of the most important moments in my entire life.
Wow.
Yeah.
I wish I had met her because she wasn't there the second night when I showed up.
But that's the thing is, she can connect to you all
yeah.
mentally. And she told me that. And she goes, you know, anytime that you feel scared or even tonight, the next night, she's like, think of me. Like, I'm with you.
That's awesome.
I'm there. And, you know, she actually did come to me the second night and I saw her face. It was after, we'll get into the second night. But
yeah.
through my experience when I was going through the pain, I got through it and she came in. She was just checking. She was a little worried. She was just checking in with
mm-hmm.
me, kind of like not trying to be invasive, but like,
mm-hmm.
are you okay now?
Mm-hmm.
And I, you know, it was so beautiful to see her face and be with me. So
wow. So your main, so for the first night, your main experience was really blissed out connection, cosmic type connections.
So I guess I'll say my intention, because we do intentions.
Mm-hmm. Going
we
put, in.
We do intentions going in, and I got everything I asked for both nights. My first night's intention was expand my mind, surrender, and absorb and learn.
Mm.
And exactly that. I mean, like I said, it was all in my power going through, you know, my day-to-day things, my job, family, you know, love interests, my healing of my ex-boyfriend, bringing thoughts in, beautiful healing through this special person that has just recently come to my life, everything that I needed to get figured out on the day-to-day. In surrender, I guess, was the biggest thing. I really surrendered the most I ever had in the two previous times. I hadn't surrendered. I it wasn't the experience as I experienced the first night. And what we mean by surrender is often through this experience, the ego tends to come up and will provide these tests, whether it's you have to go pee or you have to go and get up from your space to take your mind off of, you know, maybe this big download that's going to come up to you that is a little scary. And so your ego gets in the way, like, oh no, it's time for a bathroom break. You don't need this. So the surrender of it just means to override those feelings. In the past two times, I hadn't done it as well as I did that night. And the thought of peeing came up so many times and me being cold and all of this stuff. And it passed. It passed every time. But it's all mental. It's how much can you surrender and let that feeling pass and let the downloads come through? Are you going to accept or are you going to go distract yourself?
Yeah.
It's all up to you, and you create your own experience in that room. And I gave myself a pat on the fucking back the next morning. I'm like, you did it.
Nice.
You did it. So yeah, a beautiful first night experience.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, then came night two.
Wild. Let's just say wild animals.
It was a wild west. So let's see. Where do we start?
Yeah.
So how I ended up coming night two, I wasn't even planning to go or anything.
Wasn't a plan for me to stay.
Yeah,
my best friend Angie and I, we only planned to stay the first
night.
And because of Shane.
And my very good friend and brother, Shane, was there night one and night two. In the morning of night one, I get a FaceTime at like 7 a.m. of him and someone else like, Brandon, where are you? You should be here. We're, you know, there's another night tonight. You're coming.
Yeah.
You know, very typical of Shane, who I haven't seen
and
much in the last.
You're easily convinced.
Well, especially with him. His energy is so, we're definitely like brothers. And he's been in Bali for a year. He moved his family there for a year, and he's back, you know, and I haven't seen him in a while. And so he's like, come. And then, you know, I got messaging with you and you're like, oh, I'm here, but I'm not going to stay the second night.
I was like, money.
Yeah. And then so it ended up working out where Amanda could stay, and I ended up deciding to kind of come that day. And so, I mean, I went in and same thing as I did, you know, you get different options of medicines to choose from, and all plant-based medicines that, you know, some things you haven't heard, like, you know, like white lily.
Snake
is
root.
One. Yeah, white lily is one. I mean, that's who'd have thought that white lily is actually psychedelic healing, heart-opening properties, right?
I've never heard of it.
Yeah, I mean, there's all kinds of kana. There's all kinds of things.
I've done the kana.
Yeah. And that's
Which
sort of like MDMA-ish.
Heart-opening.
Aya being the most probably popular choice, and it's all spirit, powerful, you know, type experience. But so I went with the tea, and it turns out, and we find out after the fact, after, you know, decades of doing this work, it's the most potent tea he's ever had.
Yeah, yeah.
And
how many ounces did you?
Two and a half.
Okay.
And so it was... It was very quickly. So my whole intention was to just observe. You know, I'd been listening. You guys might have heard me listening to this. I've been talking about this book, The Untethered Soul by Michael Singer, and I just love it. I highly recommend it to all you guys. And I was listening even on the ride to the event, and I was listening, and it's all about, like, instead of running from your fears, facing them and going through them, right? And how our whole lives, like, most people, like, he uses the analogy of, like, your fears being like a thorn in your side, and how we cleverly build contraptions. So, oh, I can't sleep on my side because of this thorn, so I'm going to build this clever contraption so I can, you know, cushion it. And then I build another contraption so I can get nearer someone and hug them and not be hurt by it. And your whole life is working around these fears, right? And that's what most people do instead of, and they run from them. They're evading the thing I don't want to most face, you know. And you guys have heard me talking about this sort of stuff a lot lately. And that was what my first five journeys were. A lot of times people are having cosmic experiences, interacting with, you know, extraterrestrial entities, seeing past lives, seeing future timelines. For me, it was always like fears coming up and me trying to work through them or evade them, you know, get up and go to the bathroom, yeah, or move around. Yeah.
It's not easy. It's not surrendering. Easy.
Surrendering and just going through it and accepting what is. And, you know, I'm in a place of doing that more than I ever have been. So I went in and very quickly stuff started coming up for me. And I was seeing some of the same fears that I've run from in the past. I was saying, okay, so this is what it would feel like to lose my son. This is what it would feel like for this awful thing to happen. This is what, and I was just sitting there and like transmuting these fears as they're coming up. I was like, okay, thank you. Like,
we heard.
And I was vocalizing it out loud. I accept everything that comes up. And by doing that, instead of getting sucked into the experience of it and fearing, like Tony Robbins says, it's not, you know, was it JFK that said the only thing to fear is fear itself? Tony Robbins said the only thing to fear is the fear of fear. Oh. And I think that's really profound. It's like we're scared of fear, you know? Right. And so just literally my experience was I had guys like, and you've heard me talk about it on the show recently, where I feel like a Kundalini awakening happening where I can't sit still. It's like, there's just such an energy coursing through me. Well, that's what happened. There's so much energy coursing through my vessel. I was flailing. I was uncontrollably, and I was experiencing all these different like timeline options and seeing the whole universe, the math equation that is consciousness. And then I was dealing with, what felt like, past. You know, you think of our journey in 3D with other souls, other versions of ourselves. We've battled in wars and competition and jealousy and all these things. And I was having experiences of these energies, these beings that I've maybe experienced some of that with. And I was like surrendering. I was like, when I'd seen the equation of the universe and how it's the least efficient thing to do to fight, it makes no sense. Like we, mm-hmm. you know, it, there's, it's never a viable option to fight, mm-hmm. is what I was being shown. And it's like, yeah, whatever's mine is yours. And I was like releasing like what felt like lifetimes of tension with energies that weren't, right. I didn't have faces with
but
them.
But did you consciously know you were vocalizing the way you were? Could you hear yourself?
I came in and out of awareness of me being in the room.
Okay.
So what happened, guys, is like literally there's so much energy coursing through my body. Like I have bruises all over my legs where I was banging against the wall next to me and I couldn't help it. It's like, you know, they were trying to contain me at one point and there's so much
energy. He blacked out.
So much energy coursing through me. I just wasn't aware. I was feeling this, I did have an awareness that like, okay, there's like an activation happening. You're clearing out all these fears and blockages and you're making room for more light.
But you weren't aware of your physical body moving.
At times I'd come in and out of it. Okay. Like I'd be there for a second. Then I'd be like lost in a scenario that I'm seeing.
But you have no recollection of them taking you downstairs.
No.
And removing. Zero. They had to remove him from, there was two rooms and it was so overpowering that they had to actually remove him and take him down the stairs, and he has no recollection of that. And then they had to put him separately in the laundry room.
Yeah, yeah. It's in for the faint of heart, guys. I mean,
yeah,
it was like being plugged into a light socket, and it was, you know, and a lot of it, I was just literally, you know, I was just seeing, and then I would get visions. I would go in and out of seeing like like sort of the behind the curtain, the math equations of the universe. And then I would see how simple it is. And then I would go into visions of how we're going to use apps to heal everything on this planet, like your phone, like turning gamifying consciousness is something that kept being shown to me over and over again, how, you know, by making everything public, like we all share, like instead of it's my company or my invention or my any of that, how it, when we get into a place of like what's mine is yours. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the things I was saying, you can have it, like any competitive energies, because I was feeling these competitive energies that I battled with, I feel like, for lifetimes. And I was saying, there's no need for us to fight anymore. Whatever's mine is yours, like I am literally you. And as I was doing that, I was like releasing like timelines of potential conflict is what it was being shown to me.
Nothing that you were saying was in coming from a bad place. It was literally all everything he says. You are it. It would be this. And Angie and I would die laughing. You were like, I love you guys so much. I love you guys so much. Thank you. It was this little subtle thank you. You were thanking everything you experienced, but also providing so much love in the room. So that's why it wasn't scary for me to hear, because it was so beautiful. And I know the way he is. I know that he has a podcast. I know he uses his voice for communication and truth. So I wasn't negatively affected by the stuff you were saying, because it was so positive.
But I think there's some people that my energy, it was literally like I was like a light socket, like plugged in, that was it was like an uncontrollable lightning bolt.
Because not a lot of people use their voice in the room. So, I mean, you'll hear laughing, you'll hear crying, you'll hear growling, you'll hear sounds, but it's very,
or even people like light language,
channeling different languages, but you don't really necessarily hear talking as long as you were. But okay, so also from my perspective, is that I felt that you were in this like literally like universal orgasm. You were like, you were having orgasms. Like, that's what it sounded like. It was just like you were in bliss. So that's why I was in and out of bliss.
It
sounded sexual.
Really?
Like, it sounded like you were in, it sounded like you were just fucking for a long time.
Wow. I did some damage. Like, cause I'm all banged up. The only one I banged was myself.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, one of the other experiences, guys, I was having was I was feeling my energy merge with people in my life. Like, for example, Chris, who's on the show recently, I'd feeling my, like, as we all move back into oneness, like, merging with his energy. Or my friend Ronit, who's been on the show before, I felt her energy and saw, like, a lot of shadow stuff her soul has dealt with. And I was integrating and transmuting the pain and shadow and fear there. And then sometimes these visions would be shown that were really scary. And I'd say, oh, you know, I'd see like death and things, and I'd be like, oh wow, okay, thank you for that, I accept that, I love you anyway. Like, and then it would move right through, it would blast, instead of running from these things I would have ran from before, these visions would have come and I'd been scared shitless. And I was just like, that's what, a lot of times when I was saying thank you, I was actually seeing something really horrifying.
Yeah,
it is actually what.
But did it sound like? It sounded like Angie and I said, it sounded like your inner child.
Yeah,
like it sounded like very childish. It was like, thank you. Like the sweetest, but out. It would be like you'd be spewing and then thank you. We just would just die laughing. It was funny to me.
Oh my gosh. But guys, it was so intense. It was like literally, even today, it's days later and I'm still like wobbly. Like,
I mean, I am too.
I feel like happened is like, it was like a total energetic upgrade in some way.
This stuff he says, like, it doesn't get out of our system, you know. It's weeks, it's months of integrating, and any time that like feelings can, you know, come up, we don't go back to our normal self right away.
Yeah,
this is, it's so powerful.
See, I've always heard that, but I've never had after in the past. I felt pretty normal the next day. Like,
I'm days
later and I still feel like, what?
My energy.
Who am I? Yeah. It's almost like Avatar, like the movie Avatar, when he's first in his alien body.
I've actually never seen it.
Oh, really? Okay, so he's like real wobbly. He can't like control it.
I definitely was seeing, like, today, just some some light things, some like my vision, with my vision. Mm-hmm. It's not, I mean, I don't feel like it can get through your system. So I did it two nights in a row. Wow. So it's like,
yeah.
It's still lingering.
Yeah. Yeah. It was so powerful.
I want to say my experience.
Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no. After your, just my experience of your experience.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, the next day I was like, really like, oh man, I hope I didn't disrupt other people too much. And
he's worrying for some reason about people's thoughts, and for like, it doesn't matter. Like, we talked about your friend, which I'll get into. He brought a friend that had, you know, a more negative experience and was vocalizing and all of the stuff that,
he
experienced his ego, the death to his ego.
Yeah.
And
he thought he was dead for 2 hours.
Yeah. So when what Brandon's talking about, like, it's not comparable to this other half that I experienced, because he was so out. Like, the other side of it was so scary and negative, to where his experience was so full of love. So it doesn't, there's no worry that you should be having because there was so much worse of what we all heard.
Yeah, so there's one other loud person in the room, and actually, and he was basically having this experience of, you know, as he recounted the next day, an integration, that he thought he died, and he was experiencing death, and he was feeling being like, you know, basically like just being torn apart by the universe in some way.
What did Pablo mean by his recent experiences with ayahuasca? They were leading up to this. He mentioned that the next day, that there was something.
Well, this guy had done 30 journeys before, a lot, and he'd never had anything like this, where he experienced his whole ego death. And it was, and he said while he was in that state, he was told, he's like, after he came out of it, he's like, you had to go through that, because that's your agreement, is to experience that for others, you know. Okay. So they don't have to in some way. And it was, but he even, you know, he messaged me the next day and said he still woke up in the middle of the night last night, like, oh, am I alive or am I dead? That's how like powerful his experience was. And he says that he's never had so much gratitude to be alive after going through that. And it's like,
I mean, if you have experienced death,
Well, you know, it's like,
it's just all the people that have near death experiences.
Yeah,
it's like out of it.
Yeah, it's like Eckhart Tolle talks about, the aim is to die before you die and find there is no death, you know?
Right.
Like, and if you had heard his account, it sounded kind of scary.
And he was
just kind of like, he was freaking out. He was in the bathroom most of the night, I think, for like 4 hours or something. But he was definitely going through it in a different way.
Should I explain my experience of the second night?
Yeah, please.
Okay. So the second night for me, I brought it on to myself, but I, like I said, I had no intention of staying the second night. So that was spontaneous in itself. And then I didn't know what I would, you know, what my intention would be. And it kind of just came to me throughout the day. And I was like, okay, family, you know, and deeper than just family, like ancestral roots, Native American. My grandpa, his mom was 100% Native American.
Oh, wow.
I think that's like 6% for me or something. And I would love to, I have always wanted to dive deeper into that. So I called that on, and let me tell you, it was, you know, painful. It was so different from the night before, where I was so restless. I talked about surrendering the night before. I couldn't surrender the second night. My physical body was in so much pain, indescribable. So at the beginning, he led us into a meditation. He didn't do this the first night. He led us into a meditation, and, you know, so let me back up a little bit with the tea. It's a lot of physical. You're guaranteed to throw up or
threw up
poop
so much as I'm like merging with other energies.
How many times do you?
I don't know. As I was merging with other energies and other parts of myself, and it, like, it's kind of like, imagine being ripped apart. Like, you're expanding into something more. It's like, and then I would be nauseous from it, and it was like just puking like crazy. Oh man, it's not for the faint of heart.
Right, and that's exactly why he doesn't give it to, you know, the first couple times, because he wants to know you can handle it, and that shroom combo is the grounding, and it saves. You don't
get sick.
You don't get sick. You don't purge. Nothing happens. So it's definitely a harder experience to take on. And so he's going through this meditation, and it's just funny because I'm laying down, I'm restless, I'm honestly nervous. I wasn't as nervous as it was a different feeling than the night before. He's saying something like he's saying, you know, and your brothers and your sisters and your mom and your dad. And then he goes, your family. And as soon as the word family was said, I sit up, I throw off my mask, and I purge as soon as that word comes up. And that's obviously, that was my intention, everything to do with family. So I sit up, I purge. From there,
hold on, did he say he did the meditation during the
beginning? You don't remember, do you?
Oh,
the beginning,
yeah,
he led us into it.
I vaguely remember it. Yeah, remember it.
So I don't know what the meditation
was. You're one of the first people to purge then.
Yeah, yeah. Well, your friend was after he drank it. And let me tell you also, this stuff, I'm thinking, oh, it's going to be this nice tea. It's going to taste good. No.
Ugh,
it's molasses.
It's awful.
It's this thick molasses. Ugh. Like, I can't even describe.
Gross.
So I did two ounces the first night. He actually didn't tell me he gave me more the second night. Two and a half ounces.
Wow.
And yeah, so I was trying to put off the purging, but as soon as family came up, I sit up, throw my mask off, I purge. And from there, all hell broke loose. That's when all of the energies in the room started merging together, and I started pulling in the energy of my family, and not my immediate family. This is all
ancestral.
This is native. I mean, specifically, I felt the pain of the Native American people.
Wow.
And honestly, I know about them, I know what we've done to them, but I've never really dove in. And now my knowledge of course I need to learn more about my culture, but it was the pain and the uncomfortability was so strong. I wanted to crawl out of my skin. I wanted to crawl out of my skin. I wanted it off me. I wanted my body off of me.
No.
I've never felt that in my life.
Wow.
I wanted out. I just wanted out. And I actually, this is an interesting experience. It was so through this pain, I want out. My thoughts, obviously, I'm so in my head. My thoughts are running a million times a minute, so fast, to where I was losing control of everything. And I look over. Okay, so this is my experience, by the way. So Pablo told me this was not real, that it did not happen in the physical. He told me this the next morning. I was so scared and fearful that I called over to him. I saw him sitting on the couch. He was sitting on the couch. We made eye contact, and I look at him, and I beckon him over. And he just continues to sit there. And I got frustrated, and I'm like beckoning again. Come over. And he
ignored you.
Ignoring me while looking me in the eyes. But it was also like I knew it wasn't real too, because it felt like this teacher moment. He was teaching me.
Mm-hmm.
It was this lesson that I had to learn. He was looking at me like, you can do it. Like, but in the moment, it was so powerful. And I'm like, no,
that's the whole point of, like, you know, the whole thing is you take the medicine, you lay down, and you're supposed to surrender and go through whatever comes up
with masks on. We never
mentioned that. Go through everything. And so that's a wonderful thing. You sat up to kind of say relief, come comfort me. And meanwhile, he wasn't actually even seeing you, or you weren't even probably physically doing it, but you were having the experience that you were and being like, nope.
So I got, so it was this annoyance, and I'm like, no, come here here now.
Yeah.
And he just stayed staring, and I eventually just look away, and, you know, I got through it. And like I said, I told him about this the next day, and he was like, if you did that, you know, I would have been there. I was like, well, give me insight. He was just like, you know, you were there you save yourself.
Yeah.
You saved yourself. You didn't need me.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just to know that, and it just feels so real. Like, I saw the room. I saw everyone laying down. My mask was off. I was looking at him physically, and to know that wasn't really happening. It's all mind blowing.
Yeah.
It's mind blowing. So that kind of passed. I lightened up after that, but the experience of your friend started to come in, and like he said, his friend was in the bathroom most of the night. But from my perspective, it was very scary and dark and negative, and it's very...
You're hearing him vocalize that he's basically dead.
We're hearing him pretty much curse out, you know, fuck you, fuck you. Mm-hmm. It sounded like he was hurting himself, slamming himself into things, hitting his body, and to me, the only connection I have is murder. Like, yeah. It sounded like he was getting murdering himself. Lots of, you know, it just knives were coming up. Phew. It was very heavy. And to not, you know, I could feel everyone in the room too. It's like, we all can hear it. We're all listening, but I feel like I have very strong, you know, mental power. And so I wasn't diving into his experience. I wasn't scared and like, oh my gosh, I'm so fucking scared. There's murder happening in the room. It was just holding the space and keeping grounding my energy, which is so hard. It's hard to do while hearing something like that. You know, I've never heard anything like that in my life. And it was just holding the space, but definitely one of the most difficult things I've ever experienced in my entire life. So honestly, after hearing that and going through that pain that I was feeling from my ancestors and that uncomfortability of like wanting to crawl out of my skin, honestly, I was pretty exhausted after the first half. And you know, this stuff lasts 6-8 hours.
Yeah, it's
it's
a big journey.
At one point, I actually went and got water in the kitchen, and I speak to, you know, Pablo's woman that helps out. And I'm like, you know, what time is it? You know, thinking it just, I was so exhausted from my experience already. And she goes, you know, 10 minutes till 1. And in my mind, I'm like, it's 4 in the morning.
Wow.
Like, it's 5 in the morning. And I'm like, damn, like, I have so long to go.
Was I already
left.
Being really vocal by then at 1?
It was all past by then.
Really?
Because I had gone, so I went to the bath. Yeah, it was
before
1.
I calmed down?
Yeah,
by
1? Yeah, you calmed down. Yeah, you calmed down. It was that first chunk. When you're going through that, and he was going through that, and I was going through that pain, like, I think all of us were on that
so
same.
So when Eddie came over, that probably was closer to 3 then.
Yeah.
So here's a little cool thing that happened.
Yeah.
So this guy that came over. Yeah, no, you want to finish first?
Yeah, I'm almost done.
Okay.
I'm almost done. But what I think that heaviness of like the pain that I was feeling, what you were going through, what he was going through, we were all on that same level.
Yeah.
You know, it had to pass.
Yeah.
And when it did pass, it was calm.
Mm-hmm.
But we all were there in that same space together, just experiencing different things. And I just want to say one more thing about the family thing, because that was my intention. I've never had this happen, but a beautiful experience. So, because you asked if your experience was over at that point, and it was, because you were downstairs and I had needed to go to the bathroom and somebody was in the upstairs bathroom. So I was taken down to the bathroom downstairs, and you know, I was on the toilet, like looking out the window, and this is in Hollywood Hills. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful place. And I'm sitting there like just chilling, like getting a break from what's going on upstairs, really basking in the moment to myself, and looking out the window, and I see this house that's pretty far away, and I have 20/15 vision. I can see very, very clearly and very far, and I'm just recognizing to myself, like, whoa, I could see in this house. Would they have the lights on? It's this beautiful glass house, and I'm just admiring it, and then I see these shadows they weren't there before, this shadow of what I experienced as my grandparents. And
wow,
it was this shadow. And okay, so I've never, this is all in the physical too, like with my actual eyes. So I was experiencing the house, of course.
I looked out that window. I didn't see any houses earlier.
I looked in the next morning. The house was there.
Okay.
The house was there. It was pretty far.
Mm-hmm.
And the house was there. But yeah, so I was admiring the glass and the light in the house. And then all of a sudden this being walks up to the glass, and it's this outline of this, what I recognize as my grandfather, holding an umbrella. It's just the funniest thing. Just this energy of him holding this shadow, holding this umbrella. And my grandma was with him, but I couldn't see the shadow of her because, you know, she in this lifetime experience, she had really bad arthritis to where, like, her feet went out two separate ways. She experienced this from, like, 30 years old and on. Wow. So I feel like her physical body in a lot of lifetimes has been deteriorated. And so it was like he was there and she was there, but she was like this small deteriorated like baby.
Mm.
But like I didn't see a baby. It was just this known thing that they were both there.
Wow.
And then there was stairs to a basement, and they both had basements in both of their homes that I've ever known that they lived in. And that was so important to me as a child, like being with my cousins and like being in the basement. That's where our rooms were. But it was interesting because it was like they live in the basement. You know, they're mm-hmm. there in the basement. Right. They live there. They came out of the basement to show me them in the window.
Wow.
And it was like he was kind of like standing by the stairs, like this is where we go after like we show you that we're here. But it was so beautiful because I think if they came closer, like let's say in the bathroom with me, I would have shit my pants.
Yeah,
so it was this distance of like we're here with you, but we'll stay back. We'll stay back, but we're here.
Wow.
So that was from there on that's honestly the most of what I can share with you, because the biggest moments, at least for my experience
that's
that
quite
night.
Quite. I mean, as you can hear, guys, this is not.
What were you
no
gonna
joke.
Say about Eddie,
okay.
though?
Oh,
I had
okay.
experience
so,
with Eddie
so,
as well.
So about. So you're saying by one, I was done with a lot of my flailing and vocalizing. So it probably was 3-ish in the morning or so. And we're going to wrap up here in a minute. This is a little longer than normal, but these are, you know, obviously take some explanation. But anyway, so this guy comes over and I'm just talking to him about some of what I'd experienced and the stuff I was seeing about the power of cellular devices and how we gamify consciousness. And that's going to help to wake up the whole planet. And interestingly enough, the Positive Head app was kind of hit a wall I've talked about on the show. And now it's like it's being reinvigorated with some new help and energy. And this guy's also doing something that's really cool with an app that I think we might even end up collaborating
on. He's psychic.
Well, that's what I found out. I didn't know at the time.
I'm
talking to him, and all of a sudden out of nowhere he goes, and I just met this guy, right, that night, and he's like, so how's your mom? And I'm like, well, she's been dealing with some things lately, but she's good. It kind of took me by surprise. He goes, yeah, she's really worried about you, and you need to spend more time with her, and da-da-da. Well, turns out, I talked to her the next day. At 3 a.m, she woke up, like, really worried about me,
mm-hmm.
and couldn't sleep the whole rest of the night,
right.
because she felt like something was off with me, and, you know.
And I feel the same.
My
dad.
So, yeah, that was kind of a cool thing, and he did
but
the same thing with you.
What did he say about the app?
He was just, you know, what he's working on is really cool, too, where you can, like, rate people's compassion.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, I won't go into all the details, but he basically...
But we're
going to explore
together.
Collaborating. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. So,
okay. And so my experience with him was same thing. He came over to me and Angie that night, and he lays down. And he had never expressed his psychic abilities to the group before, but it's just a knowing. Like, you just trust what he says, and he lays down. And he was like, you know, you and Angie are going to, you know, have a business together. Have you guys discussed this yet? And we look at each other, and I'm like, Angie, did you think about this at all tonight? And she looks at me, and she's like, no. And I'm like, this is fucking wild, because I did. Mm. That thought processed to me that night.
Mm.
And it was very light. It was very fast, but it was a glimpse into our future together. And we had just talked about literally the day before becoming roommates. And he goes, you know, is this going to be before or after you guys become roommates? And we just look at each other. And it's like I this partnership between her and I is there. It's going to happen. It's just a matter of when this will play out.
Yeah.
And what was the other thing he said? Yeah. So that, and then also he was a little worried for my dad as well, kind of what he expressed to you about your mom.
Hmm.
Just like, how is your dad? Where is he here? Like, it sounded like he might have thought he was dead. Like, he was a little confused of like, is he here? And I'm like, yeah, he's here. He's like, well, you really, really, really need to connect with him soon.
Wow.
It's to the point where I even question, I'm like, damn, did I remind him? Did I tell him about Father's Day or like thank him? I really questioned myself, and I did, but I didn't send a card.
Is his health good and everything?
I think so, but not, maybe not the best. Like, I'm definitely, I'm going to see him in a month.
Wow.
So, I mean, but that same thing where we talked the next day, and of course I didn't tell him what you told your mom, and I don't have that. I can't do that with my dad, but there's worry. There was worry in his voice, and he could feel the exhaustion in mine, you know?
Wow.
So, but yeah, this guy, thank you, Eddie, if you're listening, for your information, and shout out to Angie. I love you, and I'm so excited for our future together.
Aw.
Yeah.
So, I'll wrap this up here with, a story that played into this. So, my whole experience of what I went through during this journey was really being it felt like a full Kundalini activation. I was being plugged into a light socket. I was transmuting darkness in order to make room for more light. I really feel like if for me to continue to play the role I am in the world, and even on a bigger scale, I need to be able to have a capacity for even more light to flow through me. And that's what I just feel, right? And as I evolve into this next version of myself, as we merge with, you know, our higher self, as we merge with others, this is sort of part of the process. And so that was really my takeaway. Well, interesting enough, if you guys remember me talking about a month or so ago, this painting that I wanted to get, this live painting, it's of the Demiurge, character that Plato talked about. When I talked to the artist about it, he said, yeah, Plato basically said the Demiurge is what emerged from the void, is the first creator artist, you know, this artist that came from nothingness and wanted to create. And this painting just really spoke to me. I saw the artist when he was live painting, and I was like, oh my gosh, I'd love to get this. I'd love to support your art and get it. Let me know when it's done. Well, he called me to let me know it was done. I told this story like a month ago, and I don't know. I don't have a podcast number in front of me, but he said, yeah, it's done, and I'll sell it to you for $7,777.
Which is a great number.
And I'm like, okay, I love the idea of supporting your art. I love the idea of supporting art in general, and of even energetically saying, I can afford to do something like that. Well, the truth is, you know, as I mentioned on that episode, it's like my money, all my resources are going into expanding this podcast and my travel company, and I'm not spending that kind of money on art right now.
Right, right.
And so I was like, yeah, thank you, but I'm not going to write a check for $7,777. Well, the artist then suggested to me, he's like, well, what if you make payments to me? Yeah. And I was like, I actually thought of that, but he brought it up. So I'm like, you know, actually, I'd be open to
that. In the moment.
Yeah, I thought about it before that, but I wasn't going to bring it up. I just thought if he does, then cool, maybe. Yeah. And he did. I'm like, cool. Yeah, I would do that. You know, a couple $100 a month, and maybe in a year I'll just pay off the balance when so much more abundance has flowed into my world as it's continuing to do. So I said, yeah, you know, sure, if you're open to that, I'd do that. I'd love to have this incredible creative being, the Demiurge, the creator artist that emerged from the void. You know, it's an archetype, right? It's a version of God, the artist version. And to have that maybe next to me as I, you know, podcast. I mean, I have a lot of visionary art already here in the studio, so it fit in perfectly, right?
Right.
But this would be the first original piece, you know, that is just beautiful.
We've picked out a spot.
We've already picked out a spot. Well, first off, let me back up the story. So the artist said, yeah, well, I hear you. I'll do this deal, but I'm only going to give you a print until you pay it off. I'm not going to give you the actual piece.
Like, I don't want a
print. And I was like, okay, I hear you. And he's like, yeah, I had a bad experience in the past where someone kept the piece of art and, you know, whatever. I think his studio burnt down a year or so ago, I heard. And he's like, I don't feel.
That's so sad.
Yeah. And he's like, and lost like 20 pieces, originals. And,
that's such bad energy.
He's, It's part of his process, right? Yeah. So, and then he had a bad deal interaction with someone. I'm like, I understand you've had a bad interaction. I want to challenge you to trust me and have faith. I mean, you can go read who I am online.
Right,
I mean, I'm not someone who's here to like rip off visionary art from someone.
I can see from his perspective the burning, the down, everything burning down.
Yeah. And I can see why he'd be fearful, not really knowing me at all. And I was like, I want to challenge you to actually tap into trust and faith in the universe, and I want the original.
Yeah.
And you know, it's like, I'm not gonna lease the car and you give it to me at the end.
Yeah,
like, give me the original, and if we'll put an agreement together, and if I stop paying you or something, come pick it up. I'm not stealing your art. That's not my MO. And he's like, yeah, I hear you, but I don't think I can. I get, you know, and very Brandon Positive Head style. I gave him my whole, you know, vision of, okay, I understand why you're doing it, but I think it's actually going to
create a lesson.
It's a lesson. It's, you're creating the opposite of effect of abundance.
Right.
You're trying to protect your abundance, but actually you're telling the universe, I don't have trust and faith in you. And he's like, I hear you. And, but I just, I don't think I can honor. I've got to honor this in myself. I'm not, I don't think I can do this. So I was like, let me leave you with one thing. And that is ask for a sign, you know, if you're meant to do it, if you're meant to do it, then ask for a radical sign that then to show that you should do it. And that I am truly telling you, this is the best path for you. And he goes, we hung up the phone call. He goes, okay, I'm going to ask for a sign, but it's a pretty wild one. So you'll hear
not
from
really
me.
Believe.
Yeah.
You.
Yeah. He's not convinced. Right. So fast forward to, I have this experience this weekend,
what
a month
supposed
later,
to come?
A month later. And it's all about me expanding into this next version of myself. This painting, that's what I even posted online. If you look at my Instagram, it is basically, I say, here's a picture of your multidimensional self, right? Yeah. And so, you know, that's kind of what it represented to me. Well, I felt like I'm expanding into this next version of myself. I'm talking to my friend Shane.
Who convinced him to come.
Who convinced him to come. And he turns out the same artist was planning to come to his house. He knows this artist really well. I didn't know they knew each other. And the artist was going to be coming to his house today to, he was getting some piece from him or something. And I told him, I was like, oh, check out, I was like, I wanted to buy this piece, Shane, but you know, it didn't work out. And he's like, whoa, that's awesome. Who's the artist? I'm like, I told him the name. And he's like, that's who's coming to my house tomorrow.
Yeah.
And then I told him the whole story. And he goes, well, let me talk to him because I know him really, really well. And you know, Shane is a very wealthy individual too. And so, and anyway, so long story short, just before we turn on this podcast, I get a text from the artist, and he goes, hi, Brandon, hoping all is well. I delivered a print to Shane today, and after talking with him, I feel good about handing the painting over to you. I'd be happy to meet with you soon to deliver it. Give me a call when you have time to arrange. P.S.
Mind-blowing.
P.S. I had asked for a sign the painting should go to you after our last conversation, and it didn't happen in the time frame I set. But interestingly, the sign happened the day I saw Shane.
And we don't know the sign yet because this literally happened right before we started recording.
Happy to tell you about it when we connect.
I can't wait to hear.
So he literally, like, here now, I mean, basically this painting, it's my backdrop on my phone, my cell phone ever since, because I just felt such resonance with, like, this is like ours, all of us.
It's multidimensional, all about manifesting. Self. You said you posted the picture. It's been your background. Like, that's true manifestation.
Yeah. So he got the sign at the same time my friend ends up connecting with him and vouching for me randomly. We weren't even trying to set this up. And that all happened after I have this experience of expanding into the next version of myself energetically, and so that is
that's the thing.
The
like if he didn't everything is seriously so synchronistic. Like if Shane didn't call you, if you didn't come, would that experience have happened? No.
Yep.
And not saying you wouldn't have got the painting at some point in time, but it wouldn't have been now.
Yeah. I mean, I'd kind of forgotten about it. I just like, oh, well,
like,
I love it. I let go of it. I still had it as the background on my phone because I love it so much. And here it is. So, but the timing of it arriving is like after me experiencing this expansive version of myself, now it's like being reflected in this piece of art that's going to enter into the studio right next to me as I record.
Yee!
So that's our Aya journey. We're sticking to the story. I hope you guys have enjoyed this. This has been really awesome, Amanda, to have you on.
Aww.
And I know you've enjoyed it. Maybe you can tell
everyone
how to connect with you who wants to get to know you and give you a shout out for doing an awesome job here today.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, you can add me on Instagram at Magical Manda and connect with me on there. I'd be happy to
Magical Manda
talk
on
to
Magical
you guys.
Monday.
Yeah.
It's so perfect. Yeah. By the way, I said my Instagram. I've never even said
optimistic,
it before.
Optimistic
with
zero.
Yes. And spelled M-Y-S-T-I-C. Yeah.
Yeah.
And also there's a Positive Head Instagram, positive_head. I don't know if any of you guys
I mean, add them all. Add it all.
Yeah.
Join the Facebook page. Get involved.
You're on the Facebook group.
Yeah.
Okay. So, and that's Positive Heads with an S for any of you guys who don't know. Now you know, and you can find Manda there as well. Love you, Manda. Thank you so much for sharing this journey with me. I look forward to future journeys. Otherworldly and thisworldly.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been a pleasure sharing this space with you.
Indeed. Until next time, love you all. Journey well. Oh, and we do have, almost forgot, we do have a song to leave you guys with today. This is Random Rab. The song is Fate Shadow, featuring Peia, P-E-I-A. Hope you guys enjoy. Till next time, journey well. Love you all.